Okay. Thank you all for coming. I live across the street, and even though it hasn't snowed in about a day, can you hear me now? Thank you all for coming. I live across the street, and honestly, in this type of weather, even though it hasn't snowed like in a day, even a short walk like I have is not something that I look forward to, but I appreciate that you all came out this morning. And what I'd like to do with you today is go through one contemporary halachic issue, but we will use it as a springboard to touch on three halachic issues. As you can see, the source sheet is broken down into three different sections, and each issue is very important on its own right. The question that we're talking about is internet commerce on Shabbos, doing business on the internet. If I own a website, I should take it off. It's better. Okay, thank you. If I own a website, do I have to disengage my website before Shabbos? Do I have to say, I can't have my website operating on Shabbos because if it operates on Shabbos, I will be in violation of doing business on Shabbos. Now, I have to admit that we are at a stage in life, myself and my wife, where probably 90, 95, 98% of business that we do, not that we own a business really, but when we buy stuff, we buy stuff online, no? This is a plug for Google Shopping Express. It's amazing. Right? Basically, you don't have to schlep stuff anymore. You order it, they bring it to your apartment. It's really wonderful. And I don't think we're the only people who are switching the majority of our transactions to online. And the question of having a website, and do I have to close it on Shabbos, and the question of buying something on Shabbos. Let's say, for example, there's an eBay auction. Right? People know what eBay is. And let's say the auction is closing on a Friday night. Am I allowed to participate in that auction? I really want to get the thing. Can I say, you know what? It's not for me. Right? Because it's Shabbos. On the other hand, hey, what am I doing ultimately? Right? The question with internet business is, what am I doing? I'm sitting on my couch. I'm singing Shalom Aleichem. The fact that there is something going on in the virtual world that means that I am buying or selling or who knows what, but I'm not doing anything. And is it possible to violate Shabbos when you're not doing anything? That is one of the questions that we'll be addressing. Now, the way we're breaking it down this morning is in three small topics. The first topic is more relevant for the website that you have. If you have a website, you have to close it on Shabbos. And the question I want to address, source number one, is the question of Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver is the Torah's way of saying, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Right? Lifnei Iver, lo sitein mechshol. That's what the Torah says. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, however, uses Lifnei Iver in a broader sort of way, meaning I cannot give you access to an Avera that you would not otherwise have. Let's say, for example, you are a Nazir. Right? Let's say you're a person who took a vow never to drink wine. I thought actually never in a million years I'd get a Nazir Shaila. Last year, someone from a different shul, a rabbi, called me up. He says, I don't know what to do. There's someone in my shul who decided to become a Nazir, and I don't know, should I call him up to the Amud, should I call him to the Torah as so-and-so HaNazir or not? Now, I was telling the rabbi, you're not exactly cooking with gas over here, because forget about whether you call him to the Torah as a Nazir. We got to get this guy out of his Nazirus, right? We don't want to be a Nazir today, and we have to, there are ways to get out of Nazirus, just like you could be Matir Nazir, you could be Matir Nazirus as well. That's what I told said rabbi. I just thought that question was very interesting. But the Gemara discusses, let's say someone is a Nazir. Let's say someone took this vow never to drink wine, or not to drink wine for a certain amount of time, etc. So the Gemara says, "Minayin shelo yoshet adam kos yayin l'nazir." How do you know that you can't give a cup of wine to the Nazir? And I can't give Avram and Achai to V'nei Noach? The Gemara says, Lifnei Iver lo sitein mechshol. Meaning, the prohibition of Lifnei Iver is, I cannot give you access to do an Aveira. The Gemara continues to explain that we're talking about when it's Kshrei Avra Denahara. The Nazir is on one side of the river, I'm on the other side of the river. The Nazir could not get the wine unless I reach out and give wine to the Nazir. So in that situation, if I reach out and I give wine to the Nazir, I am in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol. In a situation, however, when you could get it on your own, let's say you could access this item with which you will do an Aveira on your own, but I make it easier for you, right? I am assisting you in doing the Aveira. So that the Gemara calls Lifnei Iver Midrabanan. That is a rabbinic prohibition of Lifnei Iver that we usually in rabbinic parlance we call that Misayeya Yidei Ovrei Aveira. You are helping. It's not Messiah in the sense of Mashiach who we're waiting for. It's Misayeya that you're helping people do the Aveira. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says that if the person, Yesh Omrim, Hada Asur Limkor Lahem Devarim HaShayachem LaVodasam, this I cannot sell non-Jews items for their worship, Hainu Davka Im Ein Lahem Acherim Ki Yotzei Bo. That's only if they don't have similar items, or they can't get it elsewhere. But if they couldn't get it elsewhere, then I'm permitted to sell it to them. Meaning, if they could obtain the item elsewhere, so I'm not giving them access to the Aveira. I'm not giving them ability to do the Aveira, which they couldn't do. I'm just being Misayeya. I'm just making it easier. The Ramah says there is an opinion that it's permitted. However, the Yesh Machmirim. There are those who are stringent. And Nahagu L'Hakel Kesar Rishona, the practice is to be lenient, but if you're a religious person, if you're a Baal Nefesh, so then you should be strict on this. This question might be relevant for our conversation today about internet commerce, no? I have a website, and I am selling items. Now, guaranteed, there is nothing that you could sell that the person cannot get elsewhere. Right? I can't think of it. I can't think of anything that you could possibly sell on your... And if you could, you'll earn a lot of money, probably. Or no one wants it, and you earn nothing. Those are the two possibilities. But if you're selling something that no one can get elsewhere, that doesn't happen. So they can obtain the item elsewhere. So we're not dealing with Lifnei Iver d'oraisa. If I keep my website open on Shabbos, this is not that I am giving you access to a prohibition. That I'm giving, right? Remember, there are averos involved in buying stuff on Shabbos. There are averos involved in using a computer on Shabbos. If my website is open on Shabbos, I might be making it easier for you to do an avera. But I'm not giving access for you to do the Aveira. As such, in the worst case scenario, this is Lifnei Iver Midrabanan. This is the rabbinic Lifnei Iver. But still, we have to concern ourselves with rabbinic prohibitions. So do I have to close my website for Shabbos? This is a question that the poskim deal with. The short answer is, in most cases, you don't have to close your website on Shabbos, no? Most cases you don't. Some poskim say that if you have a website, let's say you sell svarim, you sell items that the assumption is only Jews are going to buy. In that case, maybe you do have to close your website for Shabbos, because whoever is going to buy the item, if they're not buying it from me, they're buying it from some other Jew. Right? The Mishnah LeMelech has an idea within Lifnei Iver that if the only way for you to obtain this item is by someone doing an Aveira, even if it's not me, but it's someone else, so in that situation, the Mishnah LeMelech says, that still might be Lifnei Iver Min HaTorah. So if it's a Jewish website, some say you have to close it. However, I think the consensus of poskim is that you don't have to close it. Ariella. Can you speak louder? Yeah, so we'll talk about it. If it's the type of thing that only this item can only be obtained in one place, so that would be much more of a problem, because then possibly it's Lifnei Iver d'oraisa. Those that would be a reason why you would definitely have to close the website for Shabbos. But if it's a normal item and you're really competing with many other people to sell the item, in most cases it's permitted, with the exception of something that is Jewish. Let me just, before I take the next question, this issue actually came up years ago in Israel. You know banks, people know what banks are, right? Good. So the automatic tellers in banks was a big question when they first developed. Do you have to close your automatic teller on the bank for Shabbos because maybe the people are going to come and use it and they'll be withdrawing money on Shabbos and they'll be doing Averis? So this person was not known for being a big machmir. He was actually known for being a tremendous mako. Rav Goren, who was then the chief rabbi of Israel in 79-80 when the issue first came up. So Rav Goren actually felt that they had to close the automatic tellers on the banks on Shabbos. Rav Goren said that, in his opinion, there's going to be some isser that you're making it easier for people to get money on Shabbos, even though they could get money from some other bank. Right? Not all banks are asking the shaila. Not all banks are religiously run, and they're asking rabbis what to do. So the people could get money elsewhere, but even so, Rav Goren felt any way that they would get money in Israel, they're going to do it, the Aveira, because they're getting it from this Jewish bank or that Jewish bank. So there's some Aveira involved. Rav Goren felt that they have to close the automatic tellers. In the journal Truman, which comes out in Israel every year, has some of the most exciting halakhic articles. So there was the amazing thing over here, Rav Goren. Rav Goren was the chief rabbi of Israel. Tchumin. Tav Ches Vav Mem Yud Nun. Tchumin. It's a journal that comes out in Israel once a year. It comes out by Machon Somet, by the people who develop all of these electronic devices to enable you to lock doors on Shabbos and open them with punch codes, etc. They have electronic telephones, they have electronic wheelchairs, etc. That's Machon Somet. They do some very, very important and wonderful things. So they put out this journal, Tchumen. In Tchumen, so everything that Rav Goren would say, people would argue on him. And everything that Rav Goren would say traditionally was argued on by Rebbe Yoshev, no? Rebbe Yoshev and Rav Goren sat together on the Beis Din for a while, and Rebbe Yoshev actually left the Beis Din over a psak that Rav Goren gave. And Rebbe Yoshev and Rav Goren really were not so into each other. They would disagree. That's a nice way of saying it. So even when Rav Goren has a chumrah that you have to close the bank teller, the automatic bank tellers on Shabbos, Rebbe Yoshev was inclined that it's mutter to keep them open. And Rebbe Yoshev says, you know why it's mutter to keep them open? Because ultimately what you are doing is completely passive, completely sheva al ta'asa. And the argument went that you cannot possibly violate lifnei iver. You can't possibly be placing a stumbling block in front of a person. You can't be in violation of this prohibition if you are completely passive, if you are not doing anything, right? Now, this issue itself is highly debatable. The Gemara at the beginning of Moed Katan speaks about a requirement called Sion Kivaros, a requirement to mark off graves. If you've ever been to the old city of Tzfat, you notice that like there's a lot of blue. Right? I think blue represents like when there's some makom kadosh, there's like some tzaddik who's buried there, like in the cemetery. There's like one grave that's not blue, and everyone else is blue. Right? So, Siyun Kvarot is a halach of marking the graves to make sure that a kohen doesn't become tamei to that grave. The Gemara in Moed Katan discusses what's the source of Tziyun Kvaros. There's five explanations offered in the Gemara. One explanation that's offered is that you have to mark off the graves because if you don't, you're in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Mechshol. Even though I'm passive, I'm not doing anything, I'm sitting back, I'm just not marking the grave, that would be Lifnei Iver. I gave some shiurim on the YU Shavuos program this past year about issues in Shaduchim, about I don't know how to translate Shidduchim, but we all know what Shidduchim are. So one of the questions that comes up is when someone asks you information and you know negative information about the person, am I allowed to say, you know what, I'm not going to say anything? So it seems, based on that explanation of the Gemara, that you could violate Lifnei Iver passively, it seems that you really do have to tell. Again, these are questions that obviously depends on the situation. You have to consult with Talmidei Chachamim in terms of properly analyzing. But the fact is you can violate Lifnei Iver passively. Now, Rebbe Yoshev knew this Gemara. But Rebbe Yoshev felt that when it comes to the bank teller, the automatic bank teller, there's no Lifnei Iver. Because although I can violate Lifnei Iver passively, but I can only violate Lifnei Iver passively if I know who is doing the Aveira. When I have a bank teller and I don't know who's withdrawing the money, it could be him, it could be... I have no idea. So in those situations, there would be no Lifnei Iver at all. Similarly, in our case with the website, when you really don't know who is purchasing, so in those cases it would seem there's no Lifnei Iver at all. I just want to mention one last point about the question of Lifnei Iver and keeping my website open on Shabbos, and that is made by Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach in the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, chapter 29, note 70. Reb Shlomo Zalman points out that he thinks it's permitted. He thinks it's permitted to keep your website open. And the reason is because I don't know for sure that the person who's using my website is going to be doing anything wrong. I can assume that the person using my website is a non-Jew. Again, if I'm selling, you know, Jewish products, okay, it's different. But you have a regular business. So Reb Shlomo Zalman says that the Mishnayos and Shavuos, the Mishnayos about Shemitah, speak about how there's no Isser of Lifnei Iver when you can assume that the person is not violating an Aveira. The Gemara speaks about selling a Parah Choreshes. Right? If I have a cow that can do plowing work, am I allowed to sell such a cow to a non-observant Jew during Shemitah? The Mishnah says it's permitted. Because what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Right? The guy is going to buy it. Who says he'll plow? Sometimes people have a cow and the cow gets a day off. You don't have to assume that the cow is going to be doing work. And just because this cow can plow doesn't mean that you're not going to use the cow for other things that cows do. Give milk, etc. So, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, based on that Mishnah in Shemitah, in Shviyas, in Parakei, Mishnah Ches, he thinks it's permitted to keep your website open on Shabbos. I saw there's a few hands before. If people want to ask questions about Lifnei Iver, then we'll move on to topic number two. Yeah. Yes, so we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Some websites have a declaration that we will fill our orders after Shabbos, etc. We'll talk about why that is done and whether or not it's necessary. We'll discuss that as we move on. Yeah. So, I mean, again, the issue of being passive might solve, perhaps, will solve the problem of Lifnei Iver. There are many other issues involved in having a business, like we'll discuss now, and being passive may or may not solve those problems as well. A lot of what we're talking about today, though, is about being passive, because ultimately, internet commerce is really done when you are passive. Yeah. So if they tell you why they're buying it, then it's a problem. But I don't know in advance, so then it's permitted to sell. Similarly with my website, I could keep it open because I don't know in advance that the person who's going to buy from it will be a Jew who's in violation of the Isser of Shabbos. Okay, that's really what we're getting at. Now, issue number two that I want to discuss is called Schar Shabbos. Right? You could follow along in the source sheets. It says number two, Sky Shabbos. Sky Shabbos is basically that I cannot earn money on Shabbos. The Gemara in Bava Metzia speaks about Hasocher es Hapoel. Let's say I hire a worker, Lishmar es Hapara, to watch a cow. Lishmar es Hatinok, to watch a kid. What do we call that? Babysitting, no? My kid's favorite profession. It's their main source of income at this stage in their life, no? So you hire kid, that way is a plug. Like my daughter Chava Geula enjoys being hired as a babysitter. What? We'll talk about that also. That's a related issue. That's in terms of hiring someone to do a mitzvah. But if I hire a worker to watch a cow, to watch a child, Lishmar Hazraim, to watch my field, my seeds, ain nosin lo skar Shabbos. You can't pay him for Shabbos. Can't pay her for Shabbos. Lefikach ein achrayis Shabbos alav. Therefore, they're not responsible for Shabbos. I hire you to watch the field, so I can't pay you for Shabbos. Therefore, on Shabbos, they could say, I'm not working. I'm not going to watch the field. Sorry, it's my day off. However, let's say they hire me for the week, for the year, for the month, for 7 years. Shabbos in this context means for a Shemitah cycle, then I can get paid. In other words, it's a halacha that skar Shabbos. Even an activity that is permitted. There is absolutely no avera in the world in babysitting. In fact, at this stage in my life, I consider babysitting a tremendous mitzvah. It's the only thing that allows me to ever get out of my house. Right? Babysitting is not an avera. But still, I cannot get money for babysitting on Shabbos. But if I am hired for a long period of time, for a week, for a month, so then we have a principle called havla'a. Havla'a means that the salary I am earning for Shabbos is absorbed in with the salary for something else. For example, waiters. A waiter cannot get paid for a job on Shabbos. My shul hires waiters all the time. Thank God we have lots of events on Shabbos. How do we arrange for the waiters? The answer is, okay, you want to wait on this event, you better come by Motzei Shabbos and clean up. If my shul kitchen looks like a wreck because of your event, you're not getting paid. Right? That is called havla'a. I'm usually nicer to that than I am here. Like now I'm like speaking more boldly. But the fact is, havla'a means that we are absorbing the payment for Shabbos in with payment for other things. We paskin that the prohibition of Schar Shabbos, of earning money on Shabbos, does not only apply to when I do work, but even if my objects do work. It says in Shulchan Aruch, the next source in Simen Reish Mem Vav, in terms of, am I allowed to rent my oven out on Shabbos? Now, you have to remember, in European society, in medieval period, there'd be like one oven in town. And you earned a lot of money when people would come to your oven to bake in it. On Shabbos, do I have to leave my oven not doing work? Or can I say, let the goyim come, and they'll use my oven on Shabbos, and I'll earn money from that. There's income. The answer is no, that's Skar Shabbos. I'm not doing anything wrong. The goyim are working with it. But Skar Shabbos means I can't earn money from what they're doing. Even if it's my kalim, it's my vessels, still, that would be a problem of Skar Shabbos. And of course, this raises the question, well, one second. What about internet commerce on Shabbos? My website, perhaps, is like my vessel, my oven. Again, you have to think of this in a less virtual sort of way. Right? If you concretize what a website is, it's something that I own. Can I earn money from something that I own on Shabbos? That would be Skar Shabbos. That would be Usser. So maybe I have to close my website on Shabbos. Now, if it's Havla'a, it's permitted. If it's absorbed over a period of time, it's permitted. Let's say, for example, I have the type of website that people pay a monthly access fee to get into my website. No? there are times if you don't pay the monthly access fee, you can only down-level 10 arguments. Right? Such a chutzpah. Well, okay, that's what they
have.
So if I have a monthly access fee, that would be permitted. That is havla'ah. But if it is not a monthly fee, if it's the type of activity that there is a fee for accessing this website this time, so in that situation, presumably it is forbidden, because that is Schar Shabbos. I am earning money from the website. I am earning money. It's like my oven is earning money for me. My website is earning money for me. And there's no havla because it's not absorbed in the price of other things. Now, there is, however, a loophole or a way out of this. And that relates to selling merchandise. There's a tshuva that I give you here from the Minchas Yitzchak. The Minchas Yitzchak was Dayan Weiss. He was the head of the Badatz Ede Charedis. Just a cute little historic anecdote about the Minchas Yitzchak. Before he became the head of the Badatz Ede Charedis, he was a Rav in Manchester. And when he was in Manchester, actually he published the first volume of the Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak, and he was the recipient of Pras HaRav Kook, of the Rav Kook Prize, in honor of this first volume of Minchas Yitzchak. Now when you think about the head of the Badatz Ede Charedis being a recipient of Pras HaRav Kook, that's already highly unusual. But that's who the Minchas Yitzchak was. The Minchas Yitzchak has a tshuva long before internet, but it's a tshuva about vending machines. There was a Jew who owned, you know, like those Coca-Cola machines that you have. Are you allowed to keep your vending machine open on Shabbos, or do you have to close your vending machine for Shabbos because maybe people are going to come and buy from it? That's what you hope, that people buy from it. And the concern is that if they buy from it, I'll be violating the prohibition of Schar Shabbos, because I am earning money on Shabbos from what they bought from me, and that could be a problem. So I don't know when it went in, but ultimately I am getting money from it. The Magen Avraham, for example, writes that the Magen Avraham is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in Shin Vav Sivchati Yuntes. The Magen Avraham writes that, let's say I have ribbis, I have interest that's coming to me from a non-Jew. The Torah says I should not charge interest to Jews, but la'nachri tashech. So I have interest that's coming to me. So the Magen Avraham says, if the interest is accrued daily, you cannot collect interest for a Shabbos. However, if the interest is accrued on a weekly or monthly basis, then it's called havla'ah, then that interest for Shabbos is absorbed with the interest for every other day. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein already points out in his tshuvos that the issue of interest is not relevant in the way banking works today. One could say maybe there's a problem of interest on my bank account because I'm getting Schar Shabbos. My money is earning money for me over Shabbos. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says that he thinks it's not a problem because the banking day goes from noon to noon or midnight to midnight. Meaning to say, the banking day always includes some time that is not Shabbos. It happens that even though interest is accrued daily, but still it includes some time that's not Shabbos. The only time it would be a problem is if you have a 3-day yontif. No? If you have Shabbos followed by 2 days of Yontiv, so then in those situations, or Yontiv that falls out during the week, you are accruing interest on Shabbos. Rav Moshe feels in those cases what you should do is give the money to tzedakah. You should not profit from the money. Again, we're fortunate that like banks really earn very little interest, no? You should so the amount of money that you have to give to tzedakah is very insignificant. But at the same time, there is a concern of Schar Shabbos with my bank account, potentially, because my money is earning money on Shabbos. So the Minchas Yitzchak, in this tshuva, deals with my vending machines. Do I say that I have to close my vending machines for Shabbos because I'm getting schar Shabbos, I'm getting money for Shabbos? So in this tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak, he points out that the Noda B'Yehuda already raised this issue in the context of a mikvah. People would pay to go to the mikvah on Shabbos. And they wouldn't give the money actually on Shabbos, but they give the money after Shabbos or before Shabbos. The Noda B'Yehuda asks the question, how do you pay? Isn't that schar Shabbos? The mikvah is earning money on Shabbos. So the Noda B'Yehuda answers that he thinks when the mikvah earns money, the mikvah is earning money because it's providing you with a good. Not a service, but a good. The good is that they have to have wood that they burn to heat the mikvah. And because they have to have wood that they burn, so the Noda B'Yehuda says, and the Minhag, even though many poskim say, there's a Sefer Archos Shabbos that came out by Rav Rubin. He is the Rav of that Shul in Har Nof, where that terrible the massacre took place. And that Sefer Archos Shabbos is a wonderful Sefer. He points out that this Noda B'Yehuda is hard to understand. He's distinguishing between a good and a service. He says, I can't earn money for a service of Shabbos, but providing merchandise, giving a good, that is permitted on Shabbos, because what I'm doing is, you take my item on Shabbos, so of course, I have a right to get compensated for that item that you took. You took my mikvah wood on Shabbos. Similarly, my vending machine, the Minchas Yitzchak explains. You took my can of Coca-Cola on Shabbos. I have a right to be compensated for that. And as such, there is no iser of schar Shabbos. That's what the Minchas Yitzchak says. Again? So, if we bring it back to our internet, so we have to say like this. If I have a business with a website on Shabbos, if I'm selling goods, I'm selling a book, so I'm allowed to be compensated for that book that was sold on Shabbos. Right? That's exactly what this Noda B'Yehuda is speaking about. You could see this, by the way, it's the last line on page 2. Right? In the middle of the line, Mikomakum Shayef Bazem Ashikos from Noda B'Yehuda Tinyana Le'in Skar Harachitza. The salary, the money that comes for the wood, that certainly is permitted. If I take an item from you on Shabbos, I'm not going to pay you up during the week. Therefore, right, the Noda B'Yehuda goes stage 2. When the mikvah charges, they charge much more than just the amount of wood that I used to heat the mikvah. So how does that work? Says the Noda B'Yehuda, oh, that's called havlah. The payment that I give for the service of using the mikvah is absorbed into the price of the good, into the price of the wood that I took. So as such, the Minchas Yitzchak says, I am allowed to keep my vending machines open on Shabbos, and my website, if it provides a good, I can keep it open on Shabbos as well. Because you're taking something from me, of course I'm entitled to be compensated. However, if my website is a website that only provides information, so then we have to question whether the dissemination of information, is that the same as giving a good, or is that like providing a service? And this is a question in the Tshuvos B'Mar'ei HaBazak. There's a kollel in Israel called Eretz Chemda. It's now run by Reb Yossi Carmel. It actually has the highest rate of passing of any kollel in Israel for the Dayanot exams. It is an excellent, it's a really wonderful place. One of our Rebbeim, Yeshiva University in Israel, actually also teaches in Eretz Chemda, Rabbi Danny Mann. It's a tremendous, it's a wonderful, wonderful kollel. And they have a series of tshuvot, I think up to like 10 volumes now, called B'Mar'ei HaBazak, which are email shailas that were given to them and their responses. So they have a long one in volume 5 about internet commerce on Shabbos. And actually, Rabbi Danny Mann translates some of the Teshuvot Marei HaBazak into English. I just forgot what the name of that work is. But the argument that he makes is that he thinks providing information is more akin to a service than a good, and it should be forbidden. The only way he thinks a website that provides a service, if there is a charge for the use of that website, would be permitted is if you have a weekly or a monthly charge rather than a daily charge. If you charge people for using the internet and obtaining the information that you provide on a case-by-case basis, so then in these tshuvos from Arei HaBazak, they assume it would be forbidden. Again, I think there's room to quibble, and in with some of the footnotes, they try to come up with kulas, but the kulas don't seem to be particularly reasonable to me. Yeah, let's just take two questions about this, and then we'll move on to the third topic. The decision between goods and services? If I take something from you, so I have to pay for it. I can't do it on Shabbos, but I'll pay you after Shabbos for what I took. So the fact that I earn money from what was done, right? Again, the actual payment on Shabbos will be stage three that we'll talk about in 2 minutes. But the fact that I earn some money on Shabbos does not become usher as Schar Shabbos based on this Noda Yehuda who says that Schar Shabbos does not apply to goods. Like in the mikveh case, right? So it's an excellent question, and what we pointed out is the Noda Yehuda is hard to understand, but the fact is, this is just a word, in my opinion, the way halacha really works is it works more by what minhag is rather than what the strict reasoning is. This is a case in point. This Noda Yehuda, there's a lot of room to question it. But the minhag of Jews for hundreds and hundreds of years is that everyone paid to make nisa l'mikvah for Shabbos. That was standard practice. Even to this very day, you pay on Shabbos. You pay after Shabbos, however it works. So the fact is, how do we understand this minhag of Klal Yisrael? The answer is, we say this Noda Yehuda suggestion. Right? We're backed into it, absolutely, but again, if we could come up with a better suggestion, it would be wonderful, but we can't argue with the fact that for this is the minhag, it has been the minhag for hundreds and hundreds of years. So that is stage two of this conversation. Stage one is keeping the internet site open, which might be a problem of lifnei iver, that I'm causing you to sin by having my internet site open. I should point out that in the Marei HaBazak, they have an interesting suggestion. They say if I would close my internet site, it could be I'd be violating lifnei iver even worse. Because what happens when you try to log into a website and it's closed? What do? You log in again and again. Then you start like punching the computer. What are you doing wrong over here? So his argument, which I think is very reasonable, is that we mentioned that you don't have to close the internet site. There's no lifnei iver. But were there to be lifnei iver, say that you have to close the website, so it would be worse to keep it closed and they'd be violating more avos. Stage two that we spoke about. Stage two of this conversation is Schar Shabbos. Now I'm not supposed to earn money on Shabbos, even for a permitted activity such as Lishmar es Hatinok, Lishmar es Hazaraim, what the Gemara in Bava Metzia said, but we pointed out from the Noda Yehuda that to earn money for providing a good, for providing merchandise, that is going to be permitted. Stage three of the conversation relates to the issue of Kinyan b'Shabbos. You know, the Chazal, the Mishnayis in Beit Olam and Zayin, etc., they speak about how I'm not allowed to buy and sell on Shabbos. And that's because there is a Gezerah Shema Yichtod. Generally speaking, many items that I buy and I sell, I take out my ledger and I write things down. And there's always a concern if I'll buy and sell on Shabbos, I might write. So Chazal said, you know what? You're not allowed to buy and sell on Shabbos. Now, when it comes to buying and selling items, so there is always room to distinguish. I remember as a kid, there used to be a song, Yeshiva Shereg, Yeshiva Shesprach. So one of the lines of that, in that song is, the mice is over here and the chalos is over there. Right? Meaning that I can distinguish between the action that was done and the time that it takes effect. When I buy a house, for example, so first you fill out all the documents. I don't plan on buying a house. I live in Washington Heights. I'm like a permanent renter. But when you buy a house, you sign, and the Maisa Kinyan is done. Everything is done. But the official closing can be later. You don't take possession of the house until a few months later. Sometimes the person who's living in that house has to move out. Right? So I can buy the house now. I can do the Maisa Kinyan. All of the elements in terms of the house becomes mine, but it doesn't take effect until later. Right? The Chalos Kinyan will be later. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, in his Tshuva, discusses whether you can have the prohibition of Kinyan on Shabbos, the prohibition of buying and selling on Shabbos, does that relate to a Maisa Kinyan or to a Chalos Kinyan? Does that relate to doing the action? Does that relate to when it takes effect? He, in this Tshuva and Simon Kufnun test, at first he's inclined that it's permitted, based on a case of Pidyon HaBen. A child who's the firstborn, this actually follows the mother as to be firstborn, first to leave the mother's womb. If both parents are neither Kohen or Levi, so in day 31 of the child's life, we do a Pidyon HaBen. And you give 5 shkolem, roughly the equivalent of 100 grams of pure silver, to a Kohen to redeem that firstborn son. I always thought Pidyon HaBen is a relatively uncommon mitzvah. It happens in the last week in my shul. We have had 4 of them. It just worked out that way. I have no idea how, but it just worked out. Now, again, yeah, we can explain to you how that happened. There weren't 4 babies all born the same week, but it just worked out that way. The fact is, day 31, we do Pidyon HaBen. Let's say day 31 is Shabbos. Do I do Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos? Do I give money to the Kohen on Shabbos? So obviously not. So what do I do? So the Trumas Hadeshen entertains, maybe I give the money to the Kohen before Shabbos, and I say that it won't take effect until Shabbos. Right, you could do that, as long as the Kohen doesn't, the expression in the Gemara is, Shalom is aklu hamaos, the Kohen doesn't eat the money. Right, probably means like, use the money up or something. If you're still holding the money, it will take effect later on. So the Trumas Hadeshen that Rabbi Akiva Eiger quotes says, how come we don't do Pidyon HaBen? Ultimately, when the Pidyon should be on Shabbos, we do the Pidyon after Shabbos. There's a Machlokas Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and Chochma Sadam, whether you do the Pidyon Motzei Shabbos, Saturday night in that case, or do you do the Pidyon Sunday morning. That's the detailed discussion. But the fact is, we don't do Pidyon HaBen, even giving the money on Friday and have it take effect on Shabbos. The Trumas Hadeshen says the reason not to is because he doesn't know what you would do about the brachos. I can't make the bracha when I give the money, it hasn't taken effect yet. I can't make the bracha when it takes effect because I'm not doing anything at that point. So the Trumas Hadeshen says, don't do it because of the brachos. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, but you see from the Trumas Hadeshen that you're allowed to have the chalos kinyan, to have the effect of purchasing on a Shabbos or on a Yontif. That's what emerges from the Trumas Hadeshen. Because the only problem was the brachos. That's what Rabbi Akiva Eiger thought initially. But as he moves on to the tshuva, he quotes a Yerushalmi, that Tosis in Yuma, Daf Yud Gimel quotes, it's the next source. The halacha is that the Kohen Gadol has to be married in Yom Kippur, no? Now what happens, Rachmanu L'Tzlan, the Kohen Gadol's wife dies in Yom Kippur, and he's not married anymore? So what do you do? So the Yerushalmi says, okay, you tell the Kohen Gadol, get a new wife, get married again. It's Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to get married. So the answer is that we permit you to get married on Yom Kippur to ensure that the Kohen Gadol is married and can do the Avodah on Yom Kippur. That's what the Gemara says. The Yerushalmi says, we permit you to get married on Yom Kippur, and when it comes to the fact that I'm not supposed to make kinyanim, I'm not supposed to acquire stuff on Yom Kippur. Again, not that marriage is an acquisition, but the halacha uses much of the same terminology. The Yerushalmi says, Ein shvus b'mikdash, the prohibition of kinyanim on Shabbos is an issur d'rabbanan. And in the Beis HaMikdash, when it comes to doing avoda, we say that it's not a problem. Rabbi Kivager says, one second, why don't we give the easier suggestion? Say that marry someone before Shabbos. And in case, and I don't know why anyone would want to do this, in case my wife dies, you will become my wife on Yom Kippur when she dies. But I'm doing the Maisa Kinyan Erev Yom Kippur, right? I will do the act of Kedushin before Yom Kippur, but the Chalos, the effect, will take place on Yom Kippur. The Yerushalmi never suggests that. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, you know what? You see that even having the effect of a Kinyan is going to be forbidden. Even having the effect, the chalos of a kinyan on Shabbos, a yontiv, is forbidden. Now, ultimately, Rabbi Kiva Eger feels that you cannot have a chalos kinyan on Shabbos. That's really his conclusion. This is actually relevant whenever Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, when you sell the chametz. No? So we sell the chametz to the goy on Friday. Do you write the document in a way that it takes effect on Shabbos, which is actually Erev Pesach, so that the people can eat their chametz and not worry that they're going to end up owning chametz once the time of Issur chametz sets in? Or do we say that all the chametz that I sold, I'm selling on Friday? Usually, we follow Rabbi Kiva Eger, and we do not even allow the effect of the kinyan to take place on Shabbos. Now, obviously, for our purposes, this is very relevant, because there might be a chalos kinyan on Shabbos, there might be the effect of a kinyan on Shabbos, when my website is open. There are a few things to be said. First of all, websites generally operate, or they always operate, with credit cards. Credit cards don't transfer funds on Saturdays and Sundays. So technically speaking, credit cards, because they don't transfer their funds, so even the chalos kinyan is not taking effect, which means that you can cancel automatically. Anything that might take effect on a Saturday or Sunday can be canceled. Point two that's worth noting is that many Muslim disagree with Rabbi Kiva Eger. I give you on the source sheet a shuv of the Avni Nezer. The Avni Nezer says, Rabbi Kiva Eger, what are you telling me? I can't have the effect of a kinyan on Shabbos. But we do this all the time, no? We paskin that I'm allowed to start a malacha on Erev Shabbos and have it continue throughout Shabbos. Don't we? We do this every Friday night. You light candles. You light candles before Shabbos, but it continues to burn on Shabbos. How is that permitted? Right? I'm allowed to have my sprinklers begin, I mean, this time of year you probably don't want your sprinklers to operate, but they can begin operating on Friday and continue to irrigate your, to water your grass on Shabbos. Right? You're allowed to start a malacha Erev Shabbos and continue on Shabbos. So therefore, the Avni Nezer asks, he says, Rabbi Kiva Eger, you know, how come you can't have the effect of the kinyan on Shabbos? Every malacha, every activity that I do on Erev Shabbos, I'm allowed to continue on Shabbos. Even the real malacha, certainly kinyanim should be okay. Based on this, the Avni Nezer, the Maram Sheh, they argue with Kiva Eger. They say that chalos kinyan is okay on Shabbos. Many follow their opinion, and there would be what to rely on in that case. There are other suggestions to answer this question of the Avni Nezer, including the famous suggestion that Rabbi Schechter has in his Sefer. Rabbi Schechter says that a malacha on Shabbos, a real one of those 39 prohibited acts, I'm allowed to start before Shabbos and continue on Shabbos. But a gezerah, something that I should not do because it might lead to something else, you could violate gezeros even b'sheva al tasa. Even if you're passive, you could violate a gezerah on Shabbos. That's why, for example, when the Reform Movement came up with the suggestion of having non-Jews play the organ and shul on Shabbos, most gedolim were opposed to that, because the prohibition of having music played on my behalf on Shabbos is based on a gezerah that I might come to fix the instrument, and gezeros you could violate even b'sheva al tasa, even if you're not doing anything. So there are many reasons to disagree with Rabbi Kiva Eger. Even if we can suggest solutions, Ultimately, however, most poskim feel that it is permitted to have my internet website open on Shabbos. I give a last suggestion on page 4, a tshuva of the Harik Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, where Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank basically argues that every kinyan, every time when I acquire something, there are two people involved. There's the makne and the kone, the one who sells and the one who buys. When it comes to a kinyan that takes effect on Shabbos, the reason why it's forbidden is because although the makne doesn't do anything wrong, the kone does. The seller isn't doing anything wrong because the seller did his activity or her activity erev Shabbos. But the kone, the buyer, is doing something wrong because they are buying something on Shabbos. And because of that, explains the Har Tzvi, right, where based on this rationale of the Har Tzvi, what should emerge is that internet commerce on Shabbos is permitted. Because who's buying the stuff on my website on Shabbos? A non-Jew. Does the non-Jew have any aveira of purchasing something on Shabbos? Of course not. Since the non-Jew has no aveira, so that's why it would be permitted. Now, we didn't discuss a number of other issues here, issues of Maris Ayin, etc. That looks bad. My understanding is you asked before about B&H, how come their website says they're closed on Shabbos. That's because people know that B&H is a Jewish-owned company, and it would be Maris Ayin of some sort to have their website on Shabbos, so that's why they have that disclaimer that everything takes effect after Shabbos. The fact is, though, it seems as a matter of halacha, a website that provides goods certainly can be operated on Shabbos. You can leave it on. A website that provides services, only if you are charging on a weekly or a monthly basis for that service, can you keep it open on Shabbos? If not, there might be an issue of Schar Shabbos, like we explained. Once again, I thank you for listening. I guess we'll take questions outside. Thank you.